Lastly, I do want to tell you a little bit about our study. This year, we have one of our own, Tanya Smith, leading us for the year. I know, woohoo is right. Many of you already know her. She's personally a great friend of mine. We've been on the journey for a long time together, and I'm sure many of you have been on the journey with her, which brings an extra sweetness to what we're learning this year, because we know the person who leaned into the material, who leaned into the word on our behalf. So we're so excited to have Tanya do this. Another thing that kind of brought about this study was your surveys. We have listened to what you've written on the surveys the last few years, and we're hearing more small group, let's talk more. And so our intention is to really get us into the word, but then give us things to talk about and to process through. So with, I can't remember what I was going to say, Tanya Smith. It's gone. We're on the journey together, people.
That's great. I have stuff. All right. I am super excited to be going through this study this year, and what I'm just Tanya, and I'm just a sister. So don't refer to me as speaker again. I'm just kidding. But I do want to just take, hopefully just about 10 minutes to give just a brief overview or introduction on our study that is called Hidden in Christ this year. And we're going to be talking about our true identity. I wrote out, and I will have written out my notes every time because I'm a chatty Kathy. And so if I don't stick to notes, then I just keep going. So I'm going to try not to read them either, but that's just a little bit about me. But I do have to say one thing that's so funny because we're talking about identity. Okay, so Roxanne, last night we were here setting up. No, you're fine. It's deprecating to me, not you. So last night Roxanne was just saying, hey, Tanya, we're setting up. Do you have your waffle iron? And I'm like, what? Oh, yeah. She needed me to bring the waffle maker. We call it maker, iron, whatever. And so I totally forgot. My head has just been spinning with details. Maybe you too, with just like getting the school year started and ministry started and your family and all of that. And so wrote myself a note because I knew I'd forget it. Got home. I actually saw the note. So I pulled it out and I'm like, oh, shoot. This thing is disgusting. And not like with non-food things, okay? But, you know, just like it's gross. I think of it like a cast iron skillet, you know, like it's more seasoned, like it's better as you use it. That's our waffle maker. So I'm scrubbing it, and I'm literally having to say, I'm taking this to a public place, but my identity is not in the state of my waffle maker. Like, my identity is not in the state. So anyway, I won't tell you which one was mine. I think it actually got pulled, so maybe that was... Anyway, identity. Okay, so I'm going to read off some questions that I just want you to listen to. Who am I? What's my purpose in life? Does anybody really know and understand who I am? Do I even know and understand who I am? Am I really loved? Where can I find peace? Is there any hope in this life? Does my life have meaning? And what in the world is my identity? We're not going to take a lot of time, but just if there was a question or two that kind of resonated with you, just for your eyes only, maybe circle it if those sheets have gone around to everyone. The questions are on your sheet, right? Okay. One thing I'll say about the sheet. For whatever reason, when I formatted it, I must not have done it properly. And so there are times when you might have to like turn your head or there's a word missing. So, you know, on the journey. Okay. So identity. And I do just want to quick back up because Corby said a little bit how, you know, as a sister, I have leaned into this. I've pressed into this information that we're going to go over this year, this study. And really, it's been about 2 years where the Lord kind of started stirring in my heart just different questions and struggles and longings, and there's a slice of this study that it really originated from for me personally, and the Lord has had me on a very specific journey the past year, and so this summer in putting this together, it was literally taken every extra part of me. It's just taken everything out of me, is what I'm trying to say. And so I come humbly to you saying I'm not in any state of arrival. I've pressed into it maybe a little earlier than you have, but very much am digging into this alongside you, and I'm being transformed by it still. So okay, identity is such a buzzword, right? It's defined by these super deep definition. It is the fact of being who or what a person or thing is. That is not helpful. But it is like a million-dollar question right now. It's no secret that like studies on personalities and the way you tick and your wiring or whatever, it's just a hot topic, whether it's in the secular world or even in a faith community or followers of Jesus. And why is that? I think that it's because we are a people, meaning humanity, we're a people craving to know who we are and where we kind of fit in this world. What if my life has meaning and what that is. But the problem with when we study identity, which is what I kind of want to just give an overview for this morning on, is how we're going to study identity. The problem is that we live in a culture and an age that's obsessed with self, and that's not exactly anything new. From the beginning, sin has caused us to make us feel like we're more important than we are. But there is a specific perspective in our American culture that where the individual kind of sees themselves as the epicenter of the world or everything that's happening. And so then we tend to kind of put on a lens in which we filter everything through how it affects us or the individual. So we just need to be aware that if we're not intentional about how we approach the topic of identity and purpose and meaning, we're going to be affected by that perspective, the cultural perspective of self. We might kind of tend to think of ourselves as like an onion, like if I can just peel back the layers and cry a lot, that's what I do, but if I can just, well, it's okay to cry. If I can just peel back the layers of who I am, my history, my experience, my wiring, well, then I'll kind of get to the core of who I am. But the problem with that is that it just kind of takes us into a downward spiral of self, and it just lands in a still unsatisfying place. However, it's not wrong to study how you're made, your personality, your wiring. In fact, who loves personality tests? Love them. I can't wait to dig into the Enneagram thing more. Okay, that's a different conversation. But so I love this stuff. Love it. But I would say it's important in knowing how to apply how you're made to the life God's given you. But instead of seeing ourselves as an onion with this identity kind of study, I think we need to see ourselves more like an apple. And I'm not trying to be too elementary here, so just bear with me. So with an apple, okay, plant an apple tree. It really does have to start with a seed. Like, I don't know anyone who starts with a seed. Like, we got a bare root thing. But, all right, it does have to start with a seed at some point. And that seed falls to the ground. It's buried, and in a sense, it dies, okay? It's got that imagery of it dying and being buried. And after a time, that hidden seed cracks open. It sprouts new life out of darkness, and it begins to grow into something entirely new, and it brings new life and new fruit altogether. And this is the picture, really, that Scripture gives of those who are hidden in Christ, those who have place their trust in the work of Christ on the cross for their forgiveness and new life. Would there be someone, there are two verses on your sheets that I want to highlight in regards to this being hidden in Christ. Would there be two people who would read each of those verses, and I will bring the mic around? Someone who would read the Galatians 2:20.
Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Colossians, would anyone be willing to read Colossians? If not, I'll read. Colossians 3, 1 through 3 says, "If, then, you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Okay, so these two passages, they give us a picture of what happens when you trust Christ as your Savior. Your life, you died with him in his death. He cracks the shell of our seed so that just as Jesus rose back to life, you rise up out of death, darkness, and condemnation to a new life altogether. And that life that you have now is a new identity if you are hidden in Christ. And this year's study is going to be all about finding what that identity in Christ looks like. But I have two questions that I just want to simmer. Are you hidden in Christ? Are you hidden in Christ? We're going to get into that a little bit more next month. Second question, if you're hidden in Christ, are you reflecting that identity? Are you reflecting that identity of being hidden in Christ? So I'm going to wrap it up here real quick. But so, signposts. On the journey, you're going to hear this word a lot. My dear husband made this. I just said, this is kind of what I want. Will you make it? Sure. He made the little signs on the tables too. So if you know my husband and you see him, say, hey, thanks for making the signposts. Anyway, all right, so the questions that I asked you at the beginning, all right, the who am I, what's my purpose, am I really loved, they are good questions. They're not bad questions. They're human questions, but they're not, all of them are not always the questions that lead us to a right answer. But what they do is they point like a signpost, and they reveal a deeper longing or desire. They point us to something else. And so they act as a signpost, and the definition of signpost is on your sheet. It is a sign giving information such as the direction and distance to a nearby destination, typically found at a crossroads. And then the second one there I love, a signpost is something that acts as guidance or a clue to an unclear or complicated issue. All right, so first day of school, I'm thinking about teachers. Maybe teachers are right when they say many things, but when they say there are no bad questions. So none of our questions are wrong to ask, but we are going to pay attention to them and pay attention to our desires and our longings, not to sit in them, but to let them point us to a deeper, more satisfying answer. But like any signpost, you can choose to ignore it. You can choose to get frustrated with where it's pointing, or you can embrace and follow in the direction that it's pointing us. And what we're going to find is that our desires and our longings and our questions, we're made, like God made us, for them to point us to him. Because he's the only one that will fill that. I'm gonna let you take your sheet home and just read those last Jen Wilkin quotes at home. She is an amazing woman of God. She's written a book called Women of the Word. She has just a great perspective on how to approach Scripture. And so that's how we're going to attempt to approach Scripture this year with her, with those two quotes, just thinking of what do we see of God in the Scriptures and how does that inform us of who we are. So anyway, I'm really excited. I don't feel capable, but I do feel capable to do this along with you, and I'm excited for how we're all going to grow together. We're going to show just a 3-minute video, so you can turn your chairs and check out the screen there, and then that just kind of will set the tone for our year, ladies.